Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan. Joining me, as always, are Ben, Zach, and Cam.
Hi.
And we're continuing our April Fool's Month with quite possibly the worst thing I've ever seen. Cam's movie this week.
I had a lot of internal deliberation over this, but I decided to go with 2025, The World Enslaved by a Virus. And the description of this is that it says, we are in 2025. Since the appearance of COVID-19 in 2020, the world is no longer the same. A new system with a single world government has been put in place. That's it. That's the description.
I was going to say, to kick things off and get everybody in the right mood, we're going to go to this week's cocktail. It hits a little close to home. It's called The Suffering Bastard. That's us for watching this movie. But we kind of got to this point because I was looking for like pandemic cocktails. And I guess somebody at one point during the pandemic and quarantine was like, tweet me your ingredients that you have at home and I'll make you a cocktail. And so somebody tweeted the ingredients for this, and the guy was like, we'll make this, The Suffering Bastard. So it's almost like a mule, in a sense. It kind of tastes like that.
It's the ginger beer. It mixes
all of the favorites of cocktails and classics. We got 1 ounce of bourbon, 1 ounce of London Dry Gin, a half ounce of lime juice, 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, and ginger beer to top.
It was the best part of my evening.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I enjoyed it. I would drink this again. I don't really like ginger beer a hell of a lot. In fact, I normally will avoid it. But I think the fact that you kind of feel like the mixture itself makes, like, you know, if you throw a couple ice cubes in a Collins glass, it fills almost half to maybe a little bit more than half. So the actual topping with ginger beer is more like a top. It's not like a full fucking glass of ginger beer. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought bourbon and gin would be a little odd, and it actually is a lot better than I was thinking it would be. I highly recommend this one, actually.
Yeah, no. It's
tiki-esque almost, too, with the bitters and the ginger.
Yeah. No, it's really good. And it's one of those things where you don't have to have a lot of ingredients for. So, I mean, this is stuff you just got lying around. This is a great way to make use of it.
Check the show notes below. Hit up the Drizzly and Casker links. Get you some bourbon and some gin. Probably some ginger beer and bitters. I'm sure they have most of those. And make yourself a suffering bastard and let us know what you think on Instagram at Cocktails and Classics Pod. And you could check out 2025 The World Enslaved by a Virus at Hoopla or Tubi. Or it's probably free on the internet somewhere.
Or you can pay $1.50 to rent it on Amazon because your friends picked it for money. A podcast.
Don't pay money.
Don't do that. Don't That's the money. Worst option.
That is you don't worst. Have Hoopla, and you paid $1.50 so you could watch it without ads to be cool with your friends, and then you hated yourself.
I'd rather you go to jail for pirating this movie than pay $1.50 on Amazon.
You know, I would rather
pretty
have...
sure they would let you off.
I would rather have gone to jail than paid for
it. Your Honor, I submit the movie I paid for or didn't pay for as evidence in my trial.
Your Honor, I think the fact that I watched this movie is punishment enough.
Your Honor, have you ever considered that communism has run amok in our society?
What punishes me is it's the name of the movie starts with the number 2. So it's like at the top of the spreadsheet that I look at while we do these, and I'm going to have to see it.
Nice. Every time. You'll never
be reminded of it.
Well, it'll also be at the top of the bottom list, I'm sure. So,
we don't know that. Maybe someone here really feels seen by this movie.
I will say that movie turned around for the last 30 minutes.
Did it?
Towards the bottom or
like downwards, upwards?
Goodly.
Anyway,
it got better.
2025, The World Enslaved by a Virus is a 2021 adventure sci-fi film.
What?
They called it sci-fi?
I have never
That's what
I've never once in you this? Reading the description of the movie laughed ever. at like just you trying to describe the movie and what
That's not true. I did the one time that you said Harold and Kumar is a stoner comedy like three times.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you said it like the third time. I did absolutely lose my shit. But I've never laughed at something I've never seen a movie just outright lie about what it is.
Sci-fi? So they know that this movie is pure fiction.
It's dystopian future. It's why they consider it sci-fi, but...
There's nothing cool sci-fi about this movie. Let's just
what do you mean, man? There's the whole thing about that whole Jesus guy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Did you describe the plot already? Or do we laugh when we're going through it?
But
Well, okay, so I think that what I wrote was like way high level. I think you should read the storyline under IMDb because that describes a little more of the insanity of this movie better.
2025, The World Enslaved by a Virus is the story of it's the year 2025. Go figure. Since the outbreak of the coronavirus, two words, in 2020, the world has not been the same. A communist system with a single world government has been established. English has been chosen as the world language. Contacts have been reduced to a minimum. Christianity has been banned completely. The Constitution, how we knew it, no longer exists. In Germany, a small group of young Christians start an underground revolution to unite Christians and regain freedom.
Right,
The tags on IMDb are faith, believe, Christian, Republican, reference to Jesus.
Wow.
All right, so... Let's just get this out of the way at the top. When I picked this movie, I did not know that the person who starred and directed in it, I guess he kind of went like viral recently because there's a story that came out where he referenced his girlfriend turning 18 when he was like, I think he was like 24 or something like that, 25. And he was also...
Then what did he say underneath that?
I don't remember. Why don't you,
I believe it was along the lines of, I've been waiting for this for 4 years.
Something like that.
On her 18th birthday.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. So this guy was clearly dating...
a teenager.
A teenager.
A middle schooler.
Is someone who could legally 18, drink in the United States, probably.
At least 18, if not 20s. So, that's pretty cool.
And Ben gave him money, so...
Also, she was the very weak love interest in the movie.
I gave Jeff Bezos money, which is not a hell of a lot better, but it is better than directly supporting a pedophile.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have had to if Cameron didn't pick this fucking movie.
That's true. There were free options on the table, though.
It was sort of an unrelated event because we did not know of that.
We didn't know
until
that.
We were about to start the movie, and we were like, "Hold on, I've seen this guy somewhere before."
I googled the director's name to see what else he had done, and that Instagram post popped up, and I'm like, "Oh my god, I swear I've seen this before." They were making fun of this guy for being a pedophile.
So the reason so, we
technically
even...
not a pedophile, right?
Currently, what?
Well, because the age of consent in his country is 14,
but that doesn't matter. Right?
I'm saying not legally a pedophile.
Oh, sure. I guess.
Just like OJ didn't legally kill his
wife. That was the nicest thing I could say about the guy to describe him.
I don't know.
Is there a way to legally kill someone?
You are not legally a pedophile.
Well, if you're OJ, yes, because you just get away with it.
Yeah, so there is that. And part of the reason we even connected that his wife was in the movie is because there's a scene where she wakes up to an alarm on her phone, and she opens the phone to unlock or stop the alarm, and the picture on the phone is from the party of her 18th birthday in which the same Instagram post aforementioned was made. So
rough, that was real rough.
There was a lot of little Easter eggs in the movie like that, you know, like them binging how to become a hacker. You know, there was that...
I have a whole laundry list of just, like, absolute insanity from this movie.
2025, The World Enslaved to Be a Virus, whatever. It's stupid. Currently sits at a 1.1 out of 10 on IMDb. It's a 0.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and it is currently the worst movie on Letterboxd as far as rating. It's written and directed by Joshua Wesley... and Simon Wesley, stars Joshua Wesley, because of course he's going to star in a movie. Antonia Joy Spear, Matthew Duggan, Laura Weider. I don't know. None of the. John Vaught is in it, which I was kind of like, wait, hold on. Is John Voight in this movie? For a
second? Man, he really will do anything for a paycheck.
Jesus. So, Ben, you wanted to start at the beginning? You wanted to take it all the way back?
Well, I just want to bring up the fact that, like, they start this movie like it's some sort of intense chase scene. Like, this is going to be some sort of thriller. Right? Like, it's supposed to be, like, this thriller movie. This guy's driving a beat-up junker car through the fields, being chased by the cops. Then he gets out of the car and performs what I believe is the worst hood slide of all time.
I have not seen anything there wasn't worse much than that.
There was no slide.
He jumped onto the hood of the car and then like slunk off the side because he failed it real bad.
Yeah.
It's like where you you pull yourself by your heels.
Like a dog scooting across the carpet.
He tried to look badass and failed absolutely miserably. And here's my question. If that's what made it into the movie, how many takes were worse?
Yeah. I don't think they took many takes of anything. I feel like they shot it mostly once, and they're like, dope, that's good.
Yeah, there were many scenes where they legit just messed up the lines and kept it in. Like, the actors, like, stumbled through their lines that they were supposed to have and, like,
His big speech.
His big speech, he fucked up, and they didn't redo that.
Half the actors look like they're either reading their lines or trying to remember them.
Yeah, I saw one guy in the movie literally like looking up to the top right corner, you know, like with his eyes trying to remember what he was supposed to say.
Well, the one girl who worked at the main character's wife, apparently.
IRL and in the movie.
As we later find out.
Not entirely clear.
She's reading her script off the fucking laptop. It's completely obvious.
Oh, yeah, on the phone.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's being read too. Like, I mean, granted, they're German.
They're not even reading English with flair. They're just like, and they are going to track you down using
technology. I get that, but still, like, they wrote and starred and directed in this movie, right? They could have not done that. They could have made it in a language that they could be more expressive in and chose not to.
There is German in the movie. There's a good amount of German.
Hold on. Yeah. I just want to point out.
When he's reading the German, it's like, damn, this is like nice and intense.
Kevin Smith made a movie in the early 1990s on a shoestring budget, filming with black and white because they couldn't afford color, renting equipment because they couldn't afford to buy equipment. They bought like basically the chop-off ends of film reels because it was cheaper to do it that way. And you know what they did, knowing that they couldn't use a lot of film? They rehearsed the fucking movie like a play for months before they shot it. You can't tell me that these people were like, well, it sounds like she was reading it, but like, you know, it's only because you could have fucking rehearsed it before you filmed it.
What's also, that like?
Everything is digital.
Right.
They didn't use film.
That's why.
I mean, that's kind of the issue.
You
don't rehearse
because you can take as many takes as you want.
Every jackass with a camera phone.
They didn't take more than one take.
What I'm saying is 99% of the bloopers during the credits were of the American guy laughing during the
the communion thing.
The communion speech. Every single one was communion. Yes, the Twitch stream.
Twitch
was,
does communion.
The main character looking into his Bible, pissed off.
Yeah, he was not happy that he was laughing.
Yeah, no, the director was mad that he had to do it more than once.
Come on, man, my iPhone battery's dying.
Also, like I believe Cameron pointed out, the best lighting in the fucking movie is when the dude's setting up a stream.
Which looks like a sex scene.
Which it looks does like start he's setting to look up like a sex date. Scene.
Yeah. It looks like he's setting up an
OnlyFans.
But
at least we know it was after the girl's 18th birthday. So, you know, there's a
I do know that
plus,
for sure.
I guess.
Speaking of lighting, early on, there is a scene where there's three characters talking in like a triangle, and there's no like three shot or two shot tying them together. But when they show the main character, Roy, in his scene, it looks like he's filming like a YouTube tech tutorial. Like he's reviewing like the latest iPhone on this screen. Like it's got the blue and orange with like haze in the background.
Hey guys, thanks for checking out my channel. This week, we're going to review Jesus.
Well, I think he is technically anyone could do this, I guess, but I think he's technically a YouTuber. Like, I think he actually is a YouTuber.
Like, yeah, he was like, I'm just going to use my setup for my YouTube channel, and yeah. that'll be the background of our movie, our big inspirational movie.
Big American movie.
I make real American movie.
No Mickey Mouse shit. this movie was filled with just such absurd, like, I mean, this is one, like, it's so hard for me to grade things where it's like, oh, this is a really bad movie. Like, we watched Super Babies last week, right? Where it's like, this is really awful. The production quality was not, you know, it was like a big budget movie, but it was terrible. And then this is more in lines of like The Room or Birdemic, where it's like almost everything's bad. The acting's bad. Cinematography's pretty bad. The script is awful. The theme is obviously awful. You know, there's nothing redeeming about it.
There's nothing redeeming unless you believe that COVID's not real.
Right. Yeah.
In which case, this is a movie about the truth.
When I was perusing the Letterboxd and IMDb 5-star reviews, or 10, I guess, on IMDb, most of them are meme, but there are some that are like, yes, I feel heard because of this movie. There was one review I saw where it was like, oh, it said, it isn't quite Marvel quality. That's a direct quote. But the message is very moving and real fire. So it's like, you know, there are some people that are seeing the swaths of negative reviews and are actually being like, no, I liked this movie. It was good.
This guy's email is out and about in the world. Should I send
him a link to this pod when it's out? Oh,
we were going. I wish I spoke German because I found his YouTube channel and I kind of wish I could like understand some of this.
No, man, you should totally send him an email with a link to this podcast and hope that he sends it out. Boost that listenership.
I do want to talk for a second about the first third of the movie, which felt like 2 hours, where their master plan. So overall, their goal is like to try and get Christianity spread and like, you know, get more people on their side, right?
Stop being persecuted as Christians.
Exactly. And stop the tyrannous government for trying to like protect people or whatever
and
bullshit.
What's the best way to do it?
Spray painting Jesus fish in the woods.
In the middle of nowhere.
With no identifying information on it. If they wanted to like, you know, like reach out to this organization or whatever. They literally would just like spray paint fishes in the woods under like obscure bridges. And that was it. Like they were literally spray painting leaves.
They left no contact info or like any way to get involved. It was just like, here's some fish.
They were also wearing masks the whole time, which is interesting.
Yeah. Seeing for a virus they don't believe in.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you noticed in the scenes where they were like in the church basement, basically like some of the people were wearing masks and some weren't. And I was like, those are probably the people who were just there because it was like, hey man, like I need somebody to be in my movie. And they're like, there's a virus going on. Can I wear a mask? He's like, I don't fucking care, whatever. And then they're like, there's the other anti-masker fuckers walking around.
What I like is when it's are they brother and sister? I'm assuming.
The two are, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the American guy, the Marine.
Yes, the Special Forces Marine.
With the totally real Army girlfriend. When they're inside just hanging out, the three of them, they never wear a mask. And then as soon as they're outside in the woods, just the three of them, they all wear masks.
Maybe there's some law that made it like compulsory outside.
I'm guessing that was the case, and they just didn't want to get caught. Even though later in the movie, there's moments it seems like where they're outside and not wearing masks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really all over the place. Maybe ironically, one of them had COVID. That would be funny. That would
be hilarious.
Not because, you know, having COVID is not funny, but being an anti-masker and vaxxer and having COVID, different.
Yes, it's like not believing in the boogeyman, and then the boogeyman kills you.
Yeah, that would be ironic. The other, it's just, and it's so funny to me, because that strategy obviously wasn't going to work. And then this hacker lady comes in and is like, I'm basically a superhero on the internet. And I can give you a list of all these Christian people who can spread your message for you. And he's like, that would be great.
Also, I saw your fish. I had to look up what it means. I'm not a Christian, but I believe in freedom of choice.
And
that's the main reason. It's the only reason she joins.
And that, but then later she does become Christian. Pro-choice. Yeah, if there's one thing they're known for, it's being pro-choice. But then, no, because in that same scene, though, they're like, yeah, that would be great, because it turns out this fish method isn't really working. So in the movie, they even acknowledge, kind of in a roundabout way, how fucking dumb that plan was.
Yeah, it was like, oh, we're going to put these fishes out here, and people will join our group. Are they going to, like, watch you do it, or, like...
Their credit, there was one guy watching them do it, and it was that weird marine guy who, like...
Two, because the weird hacker girl watched them do it, too.
I guess technically three, because there was a policeman who shot the girl, by the way, shot her in the arm, and then nothing came of that, ever.
The man picked her up by her arm at the end of that scene. By her
recently shot arm.
And then the next scene, they ask to get her a chair, and when they bring the chair to her, they just lay her on the ground.
The guy, after they do an awkward cutaway after that, it's the girl in the marine, and the marine asks, like, how's your arm doing? And she lifts it up and goes, it's okay, I'm fine. I'm also a nurse. Well, I was, but I got fired.
Wonder why.
Oh, man. So much of this movie, the like Getty stock image of how the world used to be before the virus took over. And we get some stock footage of concerts. And what was the other thing?
Like a birthday party or wedding or something?
Yeah, like
the wedding with empty chairs. The wedding where there's no one sitting there was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so basically you're just admitting to us that you don't have friends.
All the music was so awful. The stock music was rough.
They just got all the royalty-free stuff they could possibly find. And it was just, like, odd choices at times. Like, it would be, like, super loud and intense when it was just, like, a conversation, you know?
Oh, the love scenes was rough.
Unbearable.
My hand was on the X.
Ready to quit out if we needed to.
I knew this man's reputation. I didn't want to chance it.
Your reputation precedes
you. We didn't want to end up on a double-spaced... list where someone only used the left alignment of a page for about an inch and then wasted
don't know how to set
reams
up page
and reams
columns.
Of fucking paper.
You guys are missing my favorite part.
What's
it
that?
Was only ever first names.
Yeah,
just first names in the entire list.
It's like, all right, we'll get them. Who are we getting? Jack, John, Luke, Paul. All right.
Cool.
Good luck with that.
Where do we find them? Well, there's about four million of them in the city, but we haven't narrowed down which one is the Christian yet.
It's really hard to tell. They all wear crosses. I don't know how we could
find that
information.
That was the one, the American guy. They find Hunter, who's just rocking the Jesus piece, and you're like,
they okay well The funny part with that is the script is so bad. Like, they talk to him after, you know, the woman gets shot and she's fine. And they're like, oh, so are you a Christian? And he's just, like, sitting in front of them with a cross around his neck. You're like, that felt pretty self-explanatory.
His fucking turtleneck. Everyone in their goddamn turtlenecks in this movie.
Also, another part of the script that was wild to me was they were telling a very sad story about their parents. Like, yeah, they raised us to be Christians, all this stuff. The state decided to ban Christianity and they killed themselves.
Which, yeah, that got pretty dark.
Such a weird turn. Like, they could have gone the, like, government persecution. They took them hostage. They murdered them. But no, they went with the parents killed themselves route. So strange. Well,
if they were arrested, we know that that means they're pretty much dead. Because good news, at least, they're going to heaven.
That was the other thing. Oh, my God.
The dude, some guy shows up and is saying that, like, at a meeting, they were praying. And then his mom, his sister, and one of his friends were arrested, but him and another friend weren't. The main character's just like, well, good news, they're going to heaven. They did it. They made it to heaven. And then it's just like, wait, what? They were arrested, so we just assume that they're dead now? Like, what the hell? And then he tells them, we're going to say a prayer for you and all of the Christians. We're not going to pray for your dead relatives. Fuck them. They're in heaven. But we will pray for you and all of the other Christians.
I loved the wonderful joke that they had in the movie. What did Rona do to Jesus?
Nothing.
I don't
Nothing.
Get it. I mean, what? What? I don't get the joke. What's the joke?
That COVID did like COVID is fake? God.
Is that what it is?
No, okay. It's that it didn't do anything to Jesus.
I see.
And then he follows that one up. They're like, oh, man, that was so great. Do you have another joke?
No. They told him that joke sucked.
They did tell him in the movie that joke sucked.
They basically told him, if you ever do stand up, you're
but
fucked.
No, they asked him for another joke like 5 minutes later.
And then he dropped us with the what's a fish without an eye?
Also, in that scene, the main characters, like, because they're walking around with spray paint, because this is at the time where they're spray painting fish in the leaves on the ground to try and get followers. And the guy just, like, shoots spray paint in the air in front of them, like it's an aerosol can.
Also, can we talk about after the first time they go out to get spray paint, and then they're talking about going back out, and they have to put the throwaway line in, that they need to go buy more, because they left the last two cans in the street. Like, you don't have to explain that. One, it looked like you were running out of paint anyways.
The girl in the pink was struggling to get it out of the can by the end of that.
They didn't look like they ever really had full cans.
No, you could have just said we're gonna go back out. You don't have to explain to me that you bought more paint. I think I can figure it out.
Also, I don't care. Nobody cares.
My favorite part is when the main character goes full Tommy Wiseau when the hacker knocks on the door and he's like, "Are you traitor? Did you betray us?
Everybody betray me." I am fed up with this world.
Like, somebody knocks on the door and he instantly... Also, how did everyone just get to their basement?
Yeah.
Well, it was an abandoned house. No one knew they were there. So, you know,
sleeping on pallets.
Anyone could have showed up. It's just no one did.
Because, they're like... Somebody knocks on the door, he's like, who ratted us out?
That's the thing that confused me until they explained that they were staying in an abandoned house. Was I was like, what do you mean? Who ratted you out? It looks like you're in a fucking apartment, bro. What are you? It's probably just a neighbor.
Right. The neighbor's like, this dude will not shut the fuck up at night.
I swear
Holy
to God.
Shit.
this dude says one more fucking prayer and I'm knocking on that door.
I am also, the one who you don't knocks. Think the cops would ever just be like, man, who's buying all these DVDs at the store? I wonder what they're doing with all these DVDs in 2021.
I loved the throwaway lines.
Yeah.
When they just call out loud that the hacker girl can literally do anything, I think, mostly.
Mm-hmm. She can delete her trail.
She can delete all trails.
Well, that buttoned everything up. Thanks.
Right. And the entire time, the police are like, oh, we can't find who's doing this. We can't find them. We cannot.
All How three does of he the keep police getting officers? Away with this?
And then, of course... And yet,
but apparently two of them are also on the good guy's side.
Yeah. Apparently.
How about when the guy who was very... very bad and struggling with his lines, the like leader of the police force or whatever, when he calls his daughter over
for the train
to show her his train set because it's very, very dangerous yet beautiful.
It's an antique.
And these trains represent Christians that I've killed. Like,
that is verbatim what he said. That's not even an interpretation. He verbatim said that.
What?
He fucked up his lines so bad the whole movie.
Oh, like, my God. The trains, Christian murder.
his lines just sound like the ramblings of a madman.
Yeah. I also just love how this guy made this whole movie for him to play a pseudo-Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Like, gets betrayed by his friend, who is basically Judas.
Judas, no.
In exchange for immunity. Just like a bunch of absolute bullshit.
And then he dies. He's a martyr. He gets shot. Okay.
We don't know that.
There were two gunshots. I think it's implied that he dies.
But the girl was but the girl was daughter who was sort of on the side.
Yeah. I think what the issue is you're not ready for the sequel to come out, and it's coming. That's why they left it open.
He watched Christopher Nolan's Inception, and now he only knows open-ended things.
So my interpretation...
I'm going to leave it open-ended, baby.
My interpretation was that he gets shot, killed, he's a martyr, because Jesus, and then they immediately roll bloopers right after he gets fucking executed. Like, yep, this is a very sad moment. He's dying,
or maybe he has the bloopers. Maybe she did shoot him, and it was the whole, crucified under Pontius Pilate type thing, where she's like, I don't want to do it, but this is what has to happen.
Oh man, they shove the allegory down your throat, man. Yeah. Because even early on they're like, oh, it's just like the beginning of Christianity when Jesus, he couldn't go out and preach the word because it was sacrilege at the time. That's us. It's like, yeah, cool, thanks. Shove it down my throat more, why don't you? I understand what you're going for.
Yeah, they do beat you over the head with the Christianity theme pretty much the whole time, which, it is what you expect going into this type of movie, but it is bad still.
I mean, you learn early on that it's going to be that type of movie when the first thing in the interrogation is him talking about, like, don't you remember when we could gather? Don't you remember when we could read the Bible? It's just like, oh, God.
I mean, in the first 5 seconds, they literally give you the whole
spiel
thing, which is like,
communism is everywhere.
Yeah.
Meetings are illegal.
Meetings illegal. Traveling's illegal. Christianity is illegal. And they say communism is everywhere. It's like that's a direct quote from the title card, like in the beginning, which, like Ben said, leads into that chase scene that is by far the most climactic scene of the entire movie.
And also the beginning and end of the movie.
Yeah, they reused a lot of the same... Not like... It's because some movies do it in a clever way where they redo the beginning at the from the front, redo the scenes at the end similar to the beginning, but maybe they show you more information or it's a little different, but this is like identical.
Shot for shot. Yeah.
The peace, love, and ice cream.
Yeah. They took our ice cream.
Don't you miss ice cream?
Keep your stupid comments in your pocket.
I was waiting for it at any moment.
Oh my god.
I wanna add, there's a scene basically at the midpoint of the movie where the main characters discover they're gonna do this whole Christian YouTube thing. And it was basically what was that concert that Kanye had out in the desert a couple years ago? What was that called?
I don't know.
Never mind.
I know what you're talking about, though.
You're talking about closed on Sundays?
There's a Sunday service. That's what it was called. There's a scene in the middle where they show just like the rotating Earth, and everything's blue, and I guess the red countries that light up are where they spread their message. Starts in France, then Germany, it kind of makes its way through Russia and China, and then the United States, and then Canada. But, like, that was completely unnecessary because they didn't actually have world domination because they got killed in their hometown.
Also, it started in France. Germany.
Germany.
Where they're at. But, hey, good on them, you know. Good on those Germans, they finally got through Russia, you know?
Boo.
They probably thought not to do it during winter this time. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here for most episodes, so you guys have that to look forward to.
None of us had seen this film, probably for the best. You're going to get 4 fresh reviews.
Yeah.
You're going to learn what we thought of. If you haven't heard of yet, what we kind of think of this film, get ready for the Goob Squad on 2025, The World Enslaved by a Virus.
I did suggest this movie. I do think this is probably the worst movie I've seen. I have seen some very bad movies, and last year, Birdemic, I think is the worst movie I've ever seen. Admittedly, the cinematography and sound is worse in that movie, like, objectively speaking, I think. Like, they literally get the sound wrong in that other one. In this one, it's not great. Like, there are some blunders, but it's not quite as egregious. But this movie is just, like, I don't know. The fact that it's so bad coupled with the awful messages in the movie are just, like, put it over the top for me. So I'm giving it a 0 out of 10. It's probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
I think there will be a lot of parallels between Birdemic and this one, seeing as similar production quality, I would say. Unlike Cam, I will say the audio was fucked up in this one a couple times. You could kind of clearly tell they go from being outside, like getting audio there, and then re-recording the lines later in a room mid-sentence, which was really bad. The cinematography is so film school-y YouTuber, like I'm a videographer. It's a pain. The like dull, like zero contrast in the picture. There's way too much fucking haze. The blue and orange, like, YouTuber setup in the background of like discussions just kills me. The acting is god awful. No one in here has a lick of talent. I tried to do earlier, Ben kind of cut me off, but I was gonna say, like, English isn't their first language, but like,
but they knew that going in. Practice, it wasn't a surprise.
Practice your lines? Yeah, like, I don't know, man. I honestly have no idea. Like, it was bad. The self-righteous message and this circle jerk about, like, the virus and communism have ended the world. It's old, man. It's old. Birdemic's bad. This is bad. This is probably worse because at least I'd probably watch Birdemic again. I wish I could give this less than a 0, but I'm going to give this a 0 as well.
This movie sucked a lot. It sucked in the production and the directing and the acting. And honestly, the music kind of sucked too. We forgot that the director sings America the Beautiful, playing it on his guitar, which is only to be interrupted by a rap, like a Christian rap. And it hurt a little bit. Everything feels disconnected and gross. 1 out of 10.
Wow, no zero?
Scale goes from 1 to 10. I mean, they made a movie, right? They made it, and there were seconds at a time where it was okay.
Zach, you had your finger over the X button for the longest
Which
time.
Seconds? Can you point to me which seconds were okay?
I would have to go back and look at them. I'd have to review the tape.
Point to me which seconds were okay.
Which I will
movie.
Never do. I mean, it's a horrible movie, and it's made by a pedophile. Is that worth the zero?
That's up to you, I guess.
I mean, only you can answer that question.
Yeah, I can't answer that for you.
I feel like I gotta knock it down because of the pedophileness.
I mean, you did give the house a zero.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
God,
you've given a zero before.
What am I more likely to watch first? House or this? I guess House. House wasn't... Ooh, I don't know that the director of House wasn't a pedo, given all the scenes that were in House.
That's a good point.
He makes a strong argument.
That's a very good point.
But it wasn't confirmed by the director on in an Instagram post.
He didn't outright come out and say it.
Yeah, he didn't outright tell everyone that he was a pedophile.
So what's the rating? Is it 1 or 0?
It's 0. -1 for pedophileness.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Good on you.
My man.
Oh my god.
Ben, bring it home. Give us another 0. 4 for 4.
Give us a 1. Oh,
No. It's a fucking 0, bro.
There's
this movie
issue.
Is utter dog
formula
shit.
Formula's getting a divide by zero error.
You can't divide by zero. It's not possible.
This movie is trash. All of it. Also, literally the title is 2025. The world enslaved by a virus. The virus is not the antagonist of the movie. Can we talk about the fact that there's literally, like, they basically just say, basically how they use the virus as an excuse to do all this communist shit, but then they never mention anything else about the virus. It's just them wearing the masks, but they never, again, really mention the fact that, like, whether or not they're still going through the pandemic. There's no mention of it. The title of your fucking movie is that you're enslaved by a virus. But the virus isn't the bad guy. For fuck's sake, everything about this was just awful. Everything. Writing. Trash. The acting of said writing. Trash. Now, don't get me wrong. I've seen movies where the dialogue's bad and the actors look bad because the dialogue is trash. You know what? I'm going to say it. George Clooney. George Clooney gets a bad rap for Batman and Robin. But if you look at that script, utter dog shit, and he was trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit, all right? This was just chicken shit being turned into worse chicken shit. I enjoyed no part of this movie.
We're all dumber for having watched it, and may God have
mercy
on your soul.
I regret having not pirated it. I paid a dollar to have I paid a dollar to have a fun time with my friends, and I would have rather taken that dollar and done literally anything else with it.
Can you ask for a
I would
refund?
Have given myself 100 paper cuts with said dollar versus watching this movie.
Ben, ask for a refund and then update us later in the week when they get
God,
back.
A dollar. I don't I wonder if I can.
Be like, I watched this movie. It is absolute horseshit.
The reviews were right. It's dog shit.
Dear Amazon, why do you list this as a fucking movie you can even rent on your website?
Shame on you.
Dear Amazon, I later learned that the director of this movie is a pedophile.
Did you know he's a pedophile? Do you support pedophiles?
Give me $50 back. Please. Please refund me my money, as I cannot in good conscience support this man. Thank you.
Dude, Zach can't get the thing to show up on our bottom movie because it's a zero.
Yeah, there's a filter for movies that didn't get... In order to be in the bottom movies, you have to have had an aggregate score higher than zero.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and subscribe wherever you listen and share us with your friends and family. Check us out on Instagram at Cocktails and Classics Pod. Hit up the Drizzly and Casker links below. Get your gin and bourbon. Sorry. Deliver directly to your door. Make the suffering bastard and let us know about it. Next week, it's my choice. So we're going to round it out with another new wonderful bad movie, Cats.
Yes.
Was it 2018? 19? 19. The 2019 movie version of the play by Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's a 2.8 out of 10 on IMDb. I don't know if we're going to be able to find the butthole cut, but we'll try. Share us with your friends and family, and as always, watch responsibly.